All right, well, I have not had the pleasure of being in adult Sunday school because I've been in the preschool Sunday school. So I have not been in any of the classes talking about the membership covenant, and yet I'm supposed to close it out. So bear with me there. Yes, yes. If you need to use the bathroom, raise your hand. We will have snacks in 15 or 20 minutes. All right, well, yeah, let's pray, and then we'll jump into it. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we can gather together to worship you and hear your word preached. And as we consider the membership covenant this morning on Sunday school, I pray that you would bless our time together and that we would be better for having considered it. We ask in Christ's name, amen. So Ryan asked me a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, to do this, and then when I got in, I really started to question my relationship with Ryan and if we were really friends, because these two that I'm supposed to cover are pretty straightforward, and it's like, I don't know how I'm supposed to fill out a whole Sunday school time with that, but as I got into it, I think there's a bit we can talk about. So, but to start off, because these last two are like talking about continuing in the membership covenant, the promises that we're committing to, I thought it would make sense maybe to review some of these commitments that have been talked about in Sunday school the last few weeks. So, this is a test. What are some of those commitments? And this is a time of interaction. So. And I can stand up here awkwardly for a really long time.
To gather.
Yeah.
To pray for one another.
Yep, praying for one another.
Serve one another.
Yep.
Give financially.
Yeah, giving financially to the church.
Exercise affectionate care for one another.
Yeah.
Admonish.
Yep.
Personal discipleship and family discipleship.
Yeah, personal and family discipleship. Good, you guys were paying attention. Okay, in case you weren't, I printed off copies of these, so I don't know.
You want to pass those out? I guess maybe we'll take half of them.
All right, so that's the membership covenant. I think hopefully we're all fairly familiar with it. But again, because the last two... Actually, I should have gotten a copy.
So you can pay
for it. I don't have it memorized yet.
So yeah, the two that we're covering today are the last two on this list, which are, we will continue to live by these commitments of this church, agreeing with them both in principle and as priorities for daily Christian living. And then the last, we will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. So that's why I felt it would be helpful to have these commitments in front of us, because we're basically committing to commit to these commitments. Yeah, please. Yeah. So I think that we have probably, hopefully, seen in the last few weeks that these commitments are either based directly on Scripture or they're informed in some way by various passages in Scriptures, and they're for Christians generally. And so while we as members are formally making these commitments to one another when we join the church, these are commitments that all Christians should be making. And I'd go so far as to say that these commitments are just basically living the Christian life in community. So jumping into the second to last one, the first one I'm going to talk about. So we're saying living by the commitments of this church, and we've kind of outlined, said what a few of those things are. That's the previous however many points there are. So it's all of these commitments that talk about how we're going to live in fellowship with one another, how we're going to continue in discipleship, and how we are going to continue to support the church. So those are the commitments that are talked about when we say we will continue to live by these commitments of this church. And this continuing, this idea of continuing in them, pushes us to see that these commitments are commitments that should be persisted in. They're not a one-time commitment, and then we just kind of forget about them, which is also why we read this covenant at the beginning of all of our members' meetings. It helps keep them in front of our minds. So these are commitments for a lifetime. And it's part of our ongoing communion and fellowship with Christ. I think maybe this idea of continuing in the instructions of Scripture is fairly helpful to acknowledge, because the Bible talks quite a bit about continuing in the faith. And so I'm going to read from 1 John 2:19. And that says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us." Now, the immediate context of this verse is talking about antichrists who have come. And so it's, I think, looking specifically at people who are coming in divisively into the church, or even just false professors. But I think this concept of people persevering in the faith is useful for us, because while it's not speaking directly to our church covenant, this idea of perseverance is obviously a biblical one. And when John says that they went out from us, he's not talking about people who've moved to a new city or switched to a different church in a different Christian denomination. He's talking about those who've left Christianity. By going out, they show that they do not belong, because if they did belong, they would have stayed. So thus, persevering is a mark of true Christians. So what I'm saying, or what I'm getting at, can be said logically like this. The commitments that are stated in the membership covenant are ones that all Christians should hold to, and Christians persevere in the faith. Therefore, Christians, we would expect to be persevering in these commitments. Does that make sense? Okay. So the next phrase in that statement is that we would agree with them in principle. So what does it mean to agree with something in principle?
Like the foundational idea behind it.
Yeah.
Something that we agree with.
Yeah, so the foundational principle would be something we would agree with. Yeah, what else?
You're not just trying to live by the letter of the law, but by the principles behind it.
Yeah, so not just looking at what specifically is said, but looking at the principle that is behind them. Yeah, that's great. Anything else? Okay, I think those are a good, great summaries for us to work with. So, yeah, to agree with something in principle means that we're accepting an idea or a proposition, something like that, looking at what's behind specific instruction. In this context, it means that we have considered the commitments that are on this, and we believe that they are correct for us as Christians to live by in community. They're not commitments that are to be undertaken just because they're required for church members to live by, but because the person truly believes that they are good and right to be carried out. And maybe an example of this will help. Imagine that you are going on a trip that you need to fly for. And so when you get to the airport, you have to go through security, right? And they ask you to take your shoes off. You may have a vague understanding of that they're screening for explosives or something in your shoes, but you're not really convinced that this is a useful method for doing that, and in fact that you might view that as a total waste of time, and you didn't pack your explosive shoes that day anyway. But because that's required at the airport, you do it. And that would be doing something, even though you see maybe it's not that useful. That would be agreeing with something in practice, but not in principle. So you don't really agree with the ideas that are behind or the reason why you would do something. You're just doing it because you don't have TSA pre-check. Now, when we agree with something in practice, but not in principle, we're doing so maybe begrudgingly or at best mindlessly. So by agreeing with the commitments of the membership covenant in principle, we're saying that we have thought about them, and we have weighed their basis in Scripture, and we see them as important to follow. So the next phrase would help us to recognize that we're not only giving mental agreement or assent to them, but we are also going to carry them out in practice. When it says, we're agreeing with them as priorities for daily Christian living. So what would it mean to live by them or agreeing with them as priorities for daily Christian living? I'm going to write these ones on the board.
I think one of the biblical ideas of this would be the word striving. There seems to be an effort that is daily, you know, put into trying to put these into practice. So there's a striving to do it.
Yeah. And what, like, flesh that out maybe with one of the commitments that's come before. Like, what does that look like? Really put you on the spot.
I mean, pursuing family and personal discipleship, I mean, there's been plenty of times where I feel like it's going poorly or we're very inconsistent in it, so
yeah.
It'd be easy for me to just be like, well, what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
Just stop, but to continue to persevere in striving to not only, like, work in making it more consistent, but also engaging my wife, too, of, like, how can I make this more engaging for the kids
yeah.
as well and try to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Great. What else? How else would it look like to agree with these commitments as priorities for daily Christian living?
You're gonna schedule with them in mind.
So okay.
You know, the way that your day is going to look is going to be impacted. You know, that would be the family and personal discipleship, and then the way that your week is going to be scheduled is going to be in line with that. You know, like prioritizing. Setting aside a time to get together, you know, to gather on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
possibly Sunday evening,
yeah.
during the week with other believers.
You know. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, that's a good point, too, yeah. So scheduling, not just personal time, but, yeah, if we're committing to be gathering corporately, we're going to set aside time for that, making sure that we didn't fill up our calendar for Sunday.
I think on this work and pray for the unity of spirit, the prayer thing that Ryan sends out on Tuesdays, I have found that very helpful for focusing my prayer on what has been taught in the sermon. And then, you know, he gives us three groups of people to pray for.
Yeah.
So to people that, you know, you might not think to, they don't cross your mind because you don't have any interaction with them. But
mm-hmm.
that's a practical way of putting that training for people on a regular basis.
Yeah, so we can say, like, using tools that there are to help us with that thing. So, yeah. Because, yeah, I agree, that's a great tool to make sure that we are praying for each other. Or, yeah, just to help with that, yeah.
Along that lines of, like, using the scripture, whatever scripture the church is going through, using it in your family devotionals and personal devotionals.
Yeah.
And then memorizing it along with the church so that it has more of a fluid impact in your family and in your personal conversations.
Yeah. So creating, like, a continuity with what's being done at church, what you're doing with family discipleship. And, yeah, I mean, how would you see that, like, being helpful in... Yeah, just like living the Christian life, I guess, having that continuity.
Well, I feel like it actually makes a level of ease between, like, so you're studying what the church is studying, you're teaching it, you're talking about it to your kids, and then you're able to also focus on it in your personal devotion and then pray through it. Like, it actually, like, when you're using what the church is using, it actually really gives you a sense of a fluidness through even the spiritual disciplines that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
But it just it's on your mind, and it just keeps it present and allows you to be able to use it in multiple ways because it's there in your heart. And then it just helps in so many ways to be using what the church is using already.
Yeah.
And then when they go to Sunday, when your kids go to Sunday school, it's being repeated
mm-hmm.
To them, and then they're hearing it when they sit. And it actually almost takes the struggle off of, what do we do for family devotions?
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it's actually a really easy way to facilitate what the church is already doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just from you talking, I think there's, like, a couple things that are really helpful another. It's like, so in the continuity, there is like the ease of access or whatever you could say is like, okay, this is, you don't really have to try to think like, okay, what should we do? It's like, well, we're just going to do what the church is doing, kind of follow that. And then the second is you're going to be, as you're repeatedly exposing yourself and your family to those scriptures, like you're going to get a lot of depth
right. That
you may not get otherwise, or that you probably wouldn't get otherwise. Yeah, great. Okay, what else? What else does it mean to agree with these commitments as priorities for daily Christian living, or how else might that look? Yeah.
Just as a mom who spends the majority of my time at home with my kids, so focusing a lot of our training of our children around these things too, of how to interact with their friends and one another, but it takes place at home first.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to teaching them to rejoice with one another's happiness and bearing one another's burdens, but then the hope of that is that as we have people into our home, that then that overflows from our kids and us to
people
we have in our home and then at church, and so thinking of it as beginning at home and then overflowing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because if you were to follow these commitments with your family, and you can probably follow most of them with your family, yeah, you just get practice at it, and like you say, it'll overflow. That's great. Yeah, what else? This side's been really quiet.
I think the part exercising an affectionate care and watchfulness and faithfully admonishing and entreating one another requires that we are willing to have sometimes difficult conversations and do the work to communicate in a way that is loving and gracious and upbuilding in that. And that's hard work, actually, to do that well.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have to be willing to have a hard conversation, whether you're initiating or receiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
I think it requires, too, those hard conversations or coming alongside somebody and rejoicing with them or grieving with them. It requires that you are spending time getting to know people, because you can't have a hard conversation with somebody that you don't know.
Yeah, right.
You can, but it doesn't
matter. Right.
It makes those conversations harder.
Yeah. And it's hard to rejoice with somebody if you don't know their story. And it's hard to grieve with somebody if you don't know their story.
Yeah, that's great. I apologize for my handwriting. Anything else? Maybe like one more.
Self-denial.
Yeah, how so?
Well, we can't do any of these things without being humble before the Lord and teachable through His Word. And it takes self-discipline and self-denial to do any of these things.
Yeah, for sure. Good. Okay, so I'm going to... Yeah, I think that is great ways of thinking what it looks like and kind of practically how it does. I want to dig in a little bit deeper. So I think when we say that we're agreeing with these commitments as priorities for daily Christian living, it means that we're not only to recognize these commitments as good, but we're going to act and live them out, which is what that list is. And this is the way that Scripture is consistently talking about how our actions match up with what we believe. I'm going to read a few, or I will have a few scriptures read. James 1:22 through 25, who will read that from this side of the room that's been pretty quiet? Keith, can you read?
Sure.
James 1:22 through 25. Romans 2:13.
Yes.
Ben beat you. And Matthew 7:24 through 27. Somebody from this side now. Perfect.
James 1:22-25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing.
Thanks, Keith. Ben, Romans 2:13.
For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified.
All right, Matthew 7:24-27.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house. But it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Great, thank you. So these sections of Scripture are all referring to the importance of not just hearing, but doing. So I think we could also apply that to like not just knowing, but doing. Again, these are specifically referring to obedience towards the commandments of God. But again, I think the last few weeks hopefully have shown that these commitments are based on the instructions of Scripture. Therefore, we can say that these commitments that we're making would fall into the category of things that we ought to live out, not just give our verbal agreement to. Again, from these scriptures, we would see that it's inconsistent to agree with something in principle only. And I think we can see that also just in nature. Like, imagine a person who wants to lose weight, and the way they know how to do it, or a way, would be to go to the gym and eat less food. And so if that person's like, well, I really need to lose weight, and I'm committed to losing weight, but they don't go to the gym and eat less, then they're inconsistent with what they know, how it works, and putting it into practice. And it's the same thing if we just look at these commitments and read them and say, well, yes, of course we should do that, and we don't actually do them. And I think, if you are to say, this is the way that we ought to live and don't do it, it also is like you're condemning yourself, recognizing that that's what you ought to be doing and you're not. So as we seek to live these things out daily, as the covenant says, we will definitely fail from time to time. I'm sure maybe even more than time to time, I don't know. But we know that even though we've been regenerated, the old man still is not been fully destroyed yet. And failure in this covenant should be handled the same way that failure in our personal lives with sin should be handled, with confession and repentance. So when we fail to walk together in brotherly love, we should confess that to God and to the person that we have wronged. And when we fail to pursue family discipleship, we should confess that to God and confess it to our families. I actually think that that's really helpful. I think, Colin, you were talking about like just the struggle of family discipleship. When I think it's helpful for your children to see that modeled. When you have recognized the importance of family discipleship and then you have not done it, your kids will notice. But when you say like, hey, I apologize as a father, I've not led well, that teaches your kids what repentance and faith looks like, that we're not just going to give up on it. But we also recognize the need for forgiveness. And so I think that that's a really helpful thing to do. So a point of failure in this covenant should not deter us from continuing in fellowship or from agreeing to this covenant. So I'm going to move on to the next statement. Are there any other questions or thoughts about this statement? We will continue by these commitments of this church, agreeing with them both in principle and as priorities for daily Christian living. Any other thoughts or anything about that before we move on? Things you wish I would have said. Okay. All right, so the next statement is, we will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. So, does anybody think this statement is unclear? That's what I thought too, which is, it's not much to explain. But what is the purpose of it? Like, why did this get included in the membership covenant? Because it's basically, if we're covenanting with each other here at Grace Church, why do we have a statement about when or if we leave Grace Church? Yeah, Peter.
What means this covenant isn't focused just on this church.
Yeah, for sure.
It's focused on being a Christian overall.
Yeah. Great.
I think it also recognizes the value of a local church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you move across the state and you still consider yourself a member of this church, you know, because those are the people you know and those are the people that you were committed to, you can't have the daily interaction with them and you can't know them. But there are people in the community where you're living that should know you and you should know.
Mm-hmm.
So recognizing the local church, universal church is a good thing and you can find like believers wherever you go, but to not commit to a local body is detrimental to you and your community.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I mean, that goes, you're right, that goes back to what you were saying here, this spending time and knowing people, like, that is extremely difficult to do if you are not, like, geographically close to them. And I'm sure there's lots of people that are a lot better at this than me, but it's, like, it's really hard to, like, if you know somebody well and they move, it's, like, I will maybe talk to them every once in a while for, like, a couple months, and then it's, like, well, I don't see you. It's, like, really hard to maintain a relationship. It's just difficult.
And I think that we recognized that during COVID when we were, you know, you couldn't meet. And so we were just, you know, whatever church we wanted to stream in. So we were streaming one from Cleveland, Ohio, and realizing, you know, nobody in Cleveland knows us. If anything happens, they don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great church. The teaching was wonderful. But it's like, you have to find a local body because nobody there cares about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you feel like the local church doesn't care about you. But at least there, if something happens, there would be somebody who would maybe drive across town and give you a ride to the grocery store or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're, and I think we, because we are, we have the capability of pulling whatever we want into our home, you could worship with people in Hong Kong, you could worship with people in North or South Korea, but those people are not going to be there when your car isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
When you're, driveway needs shoveled or something like that.
Yeah.
Or somebody dies.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Or when you're sinning.
And when you're sinning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that goes back to that knowing. It's like if we can't keep the commitment to exercising an affectionate care and watchfulness and faithfully admonish somebody that is in Cleveland, like you say, it's like, yeah, you're not living with those people and you don't understand what their sin is or, you know, any of that, then they don't know you. And I would even say, like, we can worship with people in different areas, but it's different too. Where when Paul, I think that's in Ephesians, we're probably coming to it, maybe we already did, where he's instructing the people to encourage each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Like, there's not that mutual encouragement when you're watching online or whatever. It's you might be encouraged by them, but you're not encouraging them back. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing that comes to mind in this last section is if you do have to move, for example, it's like a reminder of what the priorities are. So the aspect of like, okay, where we decide to move to and what job we take while we're there, if it lines up with the priorities laid out in His Word, the things that we've just been talking about, you know, that's going to, you know, if there's an area like there is no faithful gospel preaching church, like you should really evaluate whether that's going to be wise to move and take that job.
Yeah.
You know, for example, so it's a good reminder every time we read it to for that to be part of our thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great point. I think I know people who have gotten a new job or just moved for whatever reason, and they move and think like, okay, once I move there, I'll find a church. But it's like, yeah, if you move to a city, there's probably a pretty good chance. But if you move to a small town or something, there might only be one or two options, and they might not be great. So I think that's a great thing to bring up and consider. What else? What any other purposes that we see in that last statement?
Well,
I think from a spiritual growth standpoint and flourishing standpoint, having a receiving church, if we're the sending church in that regard, if someone's going out from us to a different place, then being able to have a known body and a known group of shepherds to be able to communicate to, so that the, you know, particular needs of this person or the ways that they could grow could be communicated to the shepherds there.
Yeah.
Allows a continuity of growth for Christians when they go from here.
Yeah.
There, that is good for us.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more in just a second. But yeah, that's a great, yeah, Gabor.
So, being a Christian is not a solo endeavor.
Right.
It's not like God and me.
You
have this great friendship together. It is not less than that, but it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like even the... So we are a community. We are together. That was Jesus' purpose, that we would be together. Not like just one person. And so when we remind people that when you move on from here, you need to find another community, it's because, I mean, people shouldn't need reminders. I mean, a Christian should desire together with other Christians. If you don't have that desire, then perhaps you are not a Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, Christians desire to meet with other Christians.
Yeah.
And so that's why there is this, every couple of years I made that point, I don't know. Remember, so extra ecclesia nulla salus in Latin, so outside of the church there is no salvation. And it's not because there is this rigid rule that unless you play by our rules, we don't let you go to heaven, we have no control over that. But really, this describes this reality, that if you are not interested in other Christians, then perhaps you are not one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think that's a redundant point, so thanks for bringing that up. All right, well, I think those were all helpful things to bring up. I think that as we have kind of discussed throughout this, these are all commitments that just Christians in general should be making, they are Christian commitments, I guess you could say. We have formalized them in this membership covenant, but that kind of builds on what Peter was saying. Like these aren't Grace Church specific, these are Christian specific, which I think that also kind of hits what Gabor is talking about, like, Christians are made for fellowship, and so these are kind of just maybe some summaries of things that we see in the scripture that tells us how to live together. And so I think we could say that as we make this formal covenant, we should recognize that, like, these are lifetime commitments. It's a lifetime covenant, which maybe sounds a little bit daunting, that I'm saying the membership covenant of Grace Church is lifetime membership or a lifetime commitment, because your membership at Grace Church may not be for your lifetime. But it's helpful, again, building on what Peter was saying, like, this is a commitment to the church universal. It's not, and we're making this commitment to the local church, but it is, again, a universal, more of a universal commitment. And I think that, like, another commitment or covenant that we make for a lifetime is a marriage, which we're not saying that you're marrying the church, but it is a helpful way of thinking, because our union with Christ is described in numerous places it's compared to the marriage relationship. It's a helpful sign for us. And because the church, but the marriage union isn't described as like an individual with Christ, it's the church with Christ. And so if the church, that relationship with the church in Christ is described in a marriage, the church also has a union as Christ's bride. And I think that that's what these commitments that we're making together are, that's the point of them. It's to help with the unity that we have with each other because of our common union with Christ. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure that you guys hit on a lot of my notes. So I want to make sure I don't repeat stuff too much. Yeah, so I think this also, I can't remember who mentioned it now. I guess a few people will probably mention it. This statement also speaks to the importance of continuing in community with each other, be it here or somewhere else. And I assume that that was probably talked about a bit more fully in the section that talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So I'm not going to go into that too much more, but I think that this statement is kind of based on that and maybe also reinforces it. It's not a commitment that's based on the geography of where you attend a certain church, and then because of this commitment, you're released from it when you move away. Rather, it's a commitment that you're going to continue to assemble wherever you are at. There are a couple thoughts that I think are helpful to draw out or point out as we consider this commitment. As has already been said, it's broadly applicable to beyond just Grace Church. And one of the things that has been helpful that shifted in my thinking is on the topic of Christians and the importance of the assembly, no matter what we're doing. So I'm thinking specifically about like going on a vacation or something. If you go on a 3-week vacation, I would encourage you to consider the importance of assembling still while you're on vacation. I would even go so far as to say if you're going on a 1-week vacation, you should find a church to assemble with. I know that there's been times in my life like where I've gone on vacation and I didn't go to church, and you almost see it as like, well, I'm taking a break. Like, I'm getting fully refreshed. I'm taking a break even from church. But this really shouldn't be the practice of Christians. Why would we take a vacation from church? That should be the place that we desire to be and where we find growth and refreshments for our souls. The opportunity to worship God together, sit under the preaching of his word, pray corporately, receive the sacraments. These are all good blessings from God that we can enjoy with other bodies of believers. And I would say that going and visiting other churches with families when I'm on vacation has been some of the most enjoyable parts of some of the vacations I've taken. So if that is not your practice to go find another church, I would strongly encourage you to, because it is a blessing for sure to just to see and fellowship with other believers and just see how God's working in other places. So I would commend that to you. And then secondly, kind of hitting on what Cliff was talking about, if you are moving and would like help finding a church, ask one of the elders. Like, that is something that we would love to help you with. We are responsible for a watchful care over your soul. And as you leave us, we still feel a responsibility to do that until you have united with another church. And like Cliff was saying, we would love to be able to take a person that we know well and pass that person off to the elders of another local church wherever you've moved. Again, it is difficult, as I already mentioned, like I have a really hard time maintaining relationships with people that move away. And so from a perspective of an elder, it's really, really hard for me to care for somebody's soul that I never see, and I can't talk to them face to face and just see how they're doing. You can do some of that over the phone, but it just doesn't work as well. That relationship starts to degrade. So I would say let us pass you off well. And I would also say, like, don't drag your heels in it. Like, if you move to a new place, obviously, like, you might need to go to a few different churches to find one that works out well for you. But don't take a year and a half to transfer your membership. Like, I would try to get that done relatively quickly so that your soul is well cared for. Going back to that continuity thing, which continuity is up there for a totally different reason. But, like, I would say, like, you should see continuity in your soul being cared for by a local church. So, anything you want to add to that? Cliff, you're hitting on that already. Okay.
What we actually saw that some, like, Connor and Ashley Thompson, when they moved here, their pastor specifically asked them, can I help you find a church in the Flathead Valley? And then he did a bunch of research and figured out that Grace was like-minded. And so it wasn't a guarantee that they were going to attend church here, but it was an opportunity for them to be pointed to a body that was like-minded. And and that was a really big deal for them. Yeah, and we've also had the same experience, like on vacation, going to to different churches, and I have personally found multiple times when we've gone somewhere where I would say, I love being here, but I would never live here. And then I go to church and I engage with the people and hear the word preached, and I think I could live here.
Yeah.
if I was part of these people,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And
yeah.
because of the unity that comes with that.
Yeah, and maybe one more thing just to build on now that we're rambling. we had gone to a church in Phoenix,
okay.
which is I think the one that Tanya's talking about. It's a wonderful, like-minded group of believers. And then Peter, who went to church here, went down to Phoenix for school and was connected there because of the recommendation
yeah.
for us. So if you're attending a church on vacation or something like that, consider that you may be vetting that church for a member here to recommend when you go.
Yeah.
So we didn't plan that, but it worked that way. So that
yeah.
would be another reason to go, is so that we know about more churches as a body that if we move from here, we can recommend
yeah.
or not.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say like the elders have a fairly good idea of what churches there are in Montana. We might not be able to help you as well out of state, but we'll start traveling more, I guess. No. but no, like, it is like, you can learn a lot by looking at a church's statement of faith and their recommended book reading list. Like, so we would love to help you with that. All right, any other thoughts or questions about this statement? Okay. The final closing, the benediction of this covenant, says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. So that comes from pretty much directly from 2 Corinthians 13:14, the last verse of that. Paul prays that for the church in Corinth. And why does Paul pray that for that church? Why does he ask God to bless them that way?
We can't do this list without.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It goes back to this humility and needing help, for sure.
And there was a lot of division in that church, so I think he was addressing a lot of different things that were causing strife and tension. Related to the way they were behaving in these ways towards one another, or not, as the case
yeah.
may be. So that benediction, I think, is speaking specifically to how we take these commitments and live them out,
mm-hmm.
so that we're not dealing with.
So what? I guess what? I'm trying to think of the right word. Like, what is he pushing them towards with saying that? I mean, basically, like this Trinitarian statement. Like, how is he pushing them towards those commitments or like those relationships that they're struggling in?
Well, he's pushing them towards unity
mm-hmm.
in their identity with Christ as being primary.
Yeah.
And to stop having divisions among them between like, I follow this person, I follow that person, I do this practice, I do that practice. He's pointing them towards life together in this way, in their unity in Christ.
Yeah.
And he's addressing the way that the Trinity speaks to that unity
yeah.
in each area.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's invoking the Trinity and that unity and calling the people to that same sort of unity. Yeah, very good.
And to actually fellowship in the Holy Spirit. When you're fellowshipping with each other, you're enjoying that fellowship that's in the Trinity. Like
mm-hmm.
you're able to like see how the Lord is working in each other's lives. And that's glimpses into to eternal kingdom things. So like when we're doing that, when we're not doing it, we're not seeing it, but when we are doing it, you're actually getting to see the Lord working in someone else's heart. And that I find that super encouraging when you've been committed long enough where you're like seeing growth and change. And there's a lot of hope to be found when you're examining each other's lives and saying, how's the Lord encouraging you? That's fellowshipping in the Holy Spirit with each other, and then that has a Trinitarian value to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that commonality that we have with the Spirit unites us all together. And like you say, as we're walking through life with that union, we're seeing the growth and we're being encouraged. And it's just that, like, that, yeah, that's the work of the Spirit
in us.
Yeah, in us. And yeah.
And I think because God calls such a diverse group of people, and there's a lot of odd people in the church. I mean, and so it's not like you all are, you know, when you go to a sports event, you're all into basketball, you're all into football, you're all into soccer. The church is made up of a bunch of strange people. And so sometimes your only unity is what you have in Christ.
Yeah.
And you can relate with somebody that your path is not going to cross outside of church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think to keep that in mind that, no, these are not people who have the same interests as I do, but we are united because of Christ and the love of God. And so I can fellowship with them even though we're strange.
Yeah, that's great. The church is full of strange people. You heard it here first. Yeah, any other thoughts on that? Unfortunately, there's only 5 minutes left, or less than, if I'm going to get you out on time to pick up your kids. So I don't have time to explain the Trinity. Maybe Ryan can do that next week. Yeah. Yeah, I'll just kind of summarize that statement. The grace of Christ is what forgives us and unites us to God. Again, that's a common thing. That's what we have in common. The love of God has reached out to us and given us Christ. Again, that's common. The opening statement talks about our common election, being chosen by God and drawn by the Spirit. And then finally, like has been said in different ways, it's the fellowship of the Spirit that unites us all together with his common indwelling. So I think that's why Paul added that on the end of 2 Corinthians, and that's why we have it on the end of our membership covenant. And we say amen in agreement. I will pray and close us, unless there's any other thing anybody wants to say. Okay, I'll pray and close us. Father, again, we thank you for the clarity of your word for us when it comes to how we ought to behave and interact with each other in church. We do thank you for the diversity that we have in the church of people with different backgrounds and different interests, and yet we all have the same Spirit, and we all have Christ. So we praise you for that glorious reality, and we ask that you would give us hope and give us help as we seek to uphold the commitments that are found in this membership covenant. Father, I pray that as we wrap up this time and go upstairs for our service, that you would be at work in our hearts, preparing us to bring true worship to you, that we would have hearts that are ready to receive your word, and that your word would indeed fall upon us and be at work in our hearts. Help us grow, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.